Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the privilege of standing here this morning. I thank you for your word. We know that an encounter with your word is an encounter with you. I pray that you will bless this encounter this morning. May these be your words and not mine. May you prepare minds and hearts to receive them. May you be made great and I be made small. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's my privilege to get to wrap up the Starting Over series for us. We've been spending the past weeks really digging into our regrets, and we've been getting some good feedback on these messages as we hear of people that have really come to terms with something, looked at some things that have happened in their lives in a different light, and being able to start to move past them, and that's fantastic. To give you a quick little recap, we identified some of the regrets that we would have, regrets of action, things that we've done, regrets of inaction, things that we wish we would have done, and then regrets of reaction, just life happening and us reacting to it. And the way we've been kind of learning this process is the three R's Brandon referred to, for us to be able to recognize our regrets, to release our regrets, and then to let God redeem those regrets. And that is a great thing. That's easier said than done, though. And our prayer for this message is that it's not a one-hit wonder, that it's not something that just happens for this one regret that you have in your life, but for us to really, we pray that we can become a people who can form that habit of releasing our regrets, of being able to move past them. The example I'd give you would be where we talk about the sorry cycle, getting caught in our regrets. We've been talking about that, moving it to a starting over loop. And a starting over loop is going to be, we don't take the time to get drugged down and repeating the cycle with them. As we recognize and release our regrets, we move forward into the redemption. Apollo 13, if you've seen the movie, if you're familiar with it, they had set their sights on landing on the moon. They had planned to land on the moon and had mechanical problems. Didn't happen. There's a scene in the movie, it's a great movie, but there's this scene that's perfect for the example of the starting over loop. An astronaut is looking out the window at the image of the moon, and he's recognizing that he's not going to set foot on it. He's not going to reach the moon. Their mission, their purpose has now changed into, man, we want to survive. We want to get home safely with all this trouble they're doing. So he sees this image of the moon and recognizes that, man, we're not landing there. And he lets that go and moves past that. And they actually use the moon, the gravity of the moon, to circle around and to slingshot back towards Earth. That's the starting over loop habit that we want to form as we go into this. And the Apostle Paul is who we're going to look at today. He's fantastic at that. As Brandon described, he was a murderer. He killed Christians in the early church. That's what Paul did. And he encountered the living God on the road to Damascus and was changed. And he was given a purpose. The purpose was to spread the gospel. That's the purpose Paul was given. He let go of his past mistakes, and he let God redeem him and use him for a purpose. But that didn't mean life was easy for Paul. Far from it. I want to give you a passage out of a letter he was writing in 2 Corinthians describing his life after he had this life-changing encounter with Christ. This is the life Paul had. I'm in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Welcome to life with Christ. Man, you think the guy has some things, some regrets to come to terms with right there? Absolutely he does. Man, life was not easy for Paul, but he's a great example of what we're describing because of how Paul handles that. He understood the process of moving towards that purpose Christ had for him through everything, through all this happening. When we look at our passage today, Paul has been adrift at sea recently, shipwrecked, one of his 3 shipwrecks. He's shipwrecked, and he's been stranded on an island, on the island of Malta. And He did this while he was falsely accused and has been imprisoned, and he has been taken to Rome. And Paul wanted to get to Rome. That's where Paul wanted to go. Paul wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. That's what he wanted to do. But now he's in Rome, and he's a prisoner. Now, he's not in a jail cell. It's like a house arrest. He'd be in a room or a home, but he's locked up. He doesn't have freedom. That's where we find Paul in our passage of Scripture in Philippians. And I want you to hear really the heart of Paul as I read this first passage of Scripture to you and think about him going through all these things, and this is how he responds to it. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Man, Paul has moved through his regrets. He's recognized the things that happened to him, but listen to him. His church was in doubt. The church at Philippi was starting to struggle. They had heard what was happening to Paul. They knew that he was in prison. They weren't sure. They were unsure of the future. They were doubting. They were starting to talk. If it was social media, there would have been a whole lot of comments going on his Facebook page. That's where the church at Philippi was. And Paul recognized that, and he throws out love and encouragement to them. He had already recognized his regrets for what had happened, and he'd already released them. He's in prison, starting his letter off that way. That's the attitude, that's the habit we want to form when it comes to our regrets. But we're not Paul. The Apostle Paul. That's the, man, they put apostle in front of something, it just kind of intimidates you. The Apostle Paul, the murderer, now an instrument for Christ. For us, this message is about two things. This is about handles and hope. And I use the term handles in this message because I picked it up from Brandon about a year ago in our preaching meetings that we would have. We talk about trying to put handles on things, handles on a message, handles on a scripture to where we can really get a hold of it, apply it to our lives. And I hope to do that with us here. I'm taking three parts to this and three terms you've heard before, and we're going to look at them in a little different way. So the first one is we start to look at being able to recognize our regrets. The handle I have for you is make a wish. And you may think of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, or you may think of a birthday, making a wish on some candles. And that's not what I'm referring to here. Making a wish is probably not a good thing for us when it comes to regrets. What I'm talking about is keep an eye out for those make-a-wish moments in your life. When you say something to the effect of, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I wouldn't have done this. Man, that's a great, great way for you to recognize that, you know what? I need to press into that. There's some regret there. There's something I did or didn't do that I need to look at. And in the book, Starting Over, he gives us the five most popular, for lack of a better term, the biggest regrets people struggle with. And we can just put this I wish, this make-a-wish handle to these regrets. As we look at it, he talks about, of all the regrets, these are the five that most people come up with. One, the first one would be relationships. Man, I wish I wouldn't have said this to my wife. Who's had that one? Man, I wish I would have done this with my friends. I wish I wouldn't have done this. I wish I would have worked harder at my marriage. I wish I would have been more patient with my kids. We have them. Look for those make-a-wish moments in your current relationships and in your past relationships. Every single time, that's what you want to identify. Second one that he had was health. For me, a make-a-wish moment in this one would be, man, I wish I wouldn't have had that third piece of pie. Yeah, that's the way it is. I mean, we know what's right. Regular exercise, getting enough sleep, lowering stress level, eating right. How many regrets do we have about that? Man, I wish I'd have got up early and went to the gym. I wish I never would have got out of shape like I am. Trying to get back is so hard. I wish the doctors would have had different news. I wish I would have taken better care of myself. I wish I would have encouraged my loved one to take better care. There's all sorts of I wishes about our health. Man, when you say them, recognize them. Third one is finances. Those can be big, those can be small, depending on where you're at. I wish I wouldn't have invested in that. I wish I would have invested in that. I wish I would have saved more. I wish I would have given more. Ladies, maybe a spending spree you regret. I wish I wouldn't have bought that dress in every color. For guys, it might be hunters, Kermit. That rifle shoots good. I wish I wouldn't have bought every caliber they make it in. You know, that's what happens to us sometimes. We have regrets in these areas. This one is a big one, though. The fourth one, they have purpose. Man, as we move through this life, Paul found his purpose. Have we found the purpose God has for us? Man, I wish I really would have done something that made more of a difference. I wish I wouldn't have pursued money as much. Maybe I wish I would have pursued money more so I could have done more. I wish I would have left a better legacy. There's all sorts of purpose, regrets that might be there. When you see yourself saying, I wish, you're seeing how it works, that's how that handle works. Last one to me is the most powerful one, and it's spiritual regrets. Man, I wish I never would have quit going to church. I wish I would have taken more time in the Word. I wish I would have prayed more. We have them. These are the five biggest ones that they came up with in the book, starting over. The handle for us is look for those make-a-wish moments. Recognize the make-a-wish moments because they're going to lead you to maybe some regrets you have that you need to work through. Second handle is going to be a military term that I give you. We're going to use a little different. Hurry up and wait. Anybody who's been in the military knows exactly what I mean by that. Hurry up and wait. Get done. Get ready. Get there. Okay, now wait. That's the release part of our regrets, y'all. That is what we have to do to release our regrets. And I say that in the fact that we have to quickly move through releasing our regrets. You say how fast? What I'll tell you is we have to move through those as soon as possible. Because releasing our regrets, depending on the regret, is going to take some time. There may be grief you're dealing with, real pain and hurt you're dealing with. I'm not saying to rush through those. What I'm saying is hurry. Work through those and keep working through those. Don't get bogged down. Don't get caught in that sorry cycle. Keep moving through your regrets. Hurry through them and then wait for God to redeem. I've got a great example for you, and it's a little video. There's a guy you might know or have heard of, hopefully. I don't know if you have or not. I hope you have. His name is Carson Wentz. There's a game tonight, too, if you didn't know that. There's a ball game tonight. His team is playing in that. He was having an MVP season. December 10th, he ran for a touchdown and took a shot, blew his knee out, and is out for the season. I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know. But think about that guy going into this game tonight. His team is there. What if this is the only time the Eagles make the Super Bowl? What if his team he's on, this is the only chance he gets? What if they win and he didn't play? What if they lose and he didn't play? He's going to have to deal with some regrets. Be praying for him. It's coming to him. He's going to have to work through some of these. So December 10th, his season, his MVP season ended. December 11th, he posted this video. Take a look.
What's up, everybody? Obviously, it's been a rough day for me personally. I'm not gonna lie. You know, I have a ton of faith in the Lord and in His plan, but at the end of the day, it's still been a tough one. You know, and it will be tough on me for a little bit. But as I just kind of reflect tonight, I know the Lord's working through it. You know, I know Jesus has a plan through it. I know He's trying to grow me in something, teach me something, use me somehow, some way. This will just be a great testimony as I go forward. You know, maybe not all of you out there are Christians or followers of Jesus. But I can say with 100% confidence as a follower of Jesus, I have the utmost confidence in his plan. His plan is perfect. You know, if life was, if we got everything we wanted in life, it would be a disaster. You know, I know Jesus is up there looking down, and he knows what he's doing. So I'm just going to surrender that to him and trust him in that. But I can promise to everybody, all my fans out there in the Philly area and North Dakota area, you know, all across this country, that this will not stop me going forward. I will come back stronger than ever. I will use this as motivation, and I will be attacking it this whole process as I recover. But at the end of the day, this year, we still have something special. You know, we just clinched the NFC East. That was step one of our goals this season, and we're just continuing on from there. And you know, I will be with the team along the way. I will be supporting them. I have the utmost confidence in Nick and the coaching staff and everybody else that they'll step up. You know, we've been plagued with injuries all year long, and it's just been the next man up mentality, and that's just going to continue. That's just going to continue. Nick's going to do an amazing job and lead this team now, and I'm going to be there to support and help in whatever way I can. But again, I just want to say thank you. You know, I tweeted out yesterday, thanks for all the thoughts and prayers. And I genuinely mean that. You know, the phone calls, the text messages, the emails, the tweets, everything from everybody out there. It just means the world to me. It's so humbling to know how many people are praying for me and lifting me up and encouraging me. It means the world. And I just, again, I appreciate it. God bless all of you. And I promise this will not stop me, and I will come back stronger than ever.
Under 24 hours, season-ending injury, that's where he's at. That's a young man with a mature faith. He's got some Paul in him. That's where he's at. We have to hurry. We've got to hurry through that releasing process. Don't wait on it. Don't rush it, but don't wait on it. Hurry up and then wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord and see what he's going to do. The third handle is from a book, The Seven Habits by Stephen Covey. It's begin with the end in mind. And I don't want you to think about it from that book if you've read it the way it is. What I mean by that is when we move to redemption, letting God redeem our regrets, the way we need to think about things is with the end in mind, because that's how Paul thought about things. On that road to Damascus, Paul encountered Christ. Paul became a Christian, and at that point, Paul knew the end of the story. Paul knew that one day, all regrets were going to be wiped away. No tears, no sorrow, no pain. That's the reality of Paul and his life because he was a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the end, y'all. That's what we need to focus on as we let God work in our lives. We get caught up sometimes with the here and now. We need to get caught up with the forever that we're going to have with Jesus. And that's what Paul does. I want to pick this back up because Paul lifts up the church at Philippi, and then he goes right into verse 12, going back to that purpose that God gave him on the road to Damascus. Verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's purpose was to spread the gospel. Now picture this. Paul gets to Rome, not how he wanted to get to Rome. He's bound. He's a prisoner. They put him in a room. He's in a room. They shut the door. You can hear it lock, clank. He's locked in there by himself. Man, he doesn't go into the why, but I'll bet he's asking, what? Lord, what? What is going to happen here? How am I going to preach the gospel? Who am I going to share the word with when I'm in a room here all by myself? And then I like to think about right about that time, he hears the door again, and maybe a couple of guards walk in with some bedding and some food or something. And you can see Paul just like, all right, I got you, Lord. Hey, guys, my name's Paul. And right there, he goes back to the purpose of preaching the gospel. If God gave him guards to preach the gospel, that's what God gave him. That's what Paul used. He preached the gospel to the guards, and the gospel spread. The guards were preaching the gospel to each other. And the thing about it is, some of them were doing it to get at Paul. Some of them were doing it through love. But here's the cool thing about us. As we go into this purpose God has given us, man, the world is going to come against us sometimes. Carson Wentz posted that video, and there's all sorts of negativity from it because he says the word Jesus. We've encountered it If you're a follower of Christ, the world comes against you at times. Here's the deal. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. And here's the two words that I love out of this passage. I think we all need to adopt these two words. What then? What then? There's another translation that says, what does it matter? And I'll tell you right now, when you figure out the purpose God has for your life, man, what does it matter what anybody else says? That's your purpose for your life. Paul got that. Paul got that, and that's his purpose. And he's going to be alone in a jail cell. And God help you, if you come in that room, you're going to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what he was doing. And that's how we tap into that power that is Paul's, and that power that's there for us to have our regrets redeemed. If we try to do it in our strength, we're going to fail every day and twice on Sunday. God redeems the things that happen to us, not us. He'll use us in them, but God redeems them. And I'm going to finish up this passage real quick here for you, because I love this. He doesn't just preach the gospel. That's not what Paul does. Paul rejoices. What then? What does it matter? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed and I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. He's in prison. Remember that? For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Life or death, Paul was going to preach the word because that's his purpose. For us, what is God going to do with what's happened in our life? We've got to be ready and wait patiently. We begin, though, knowing that God is going to do that because that's what God does. We have to have the power of that relationship in order to have our regrets redeemed. So as I wrap this up, I'm going to share one more story with you from my favorite character, and that's Jesus. Luke 15, Jesus shares this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Paul knows the end of the story. Paul knows one day there's not going to be any more regrets. Paul has that relationship with Jesus Christ. Where are we at in that story? As sheep, I want you to think of that story a little different now. Maybe you're in the flock. Maybe you're walking with Christ. Maybe your life is good. I'll tell you what, if that's the case, praise God, there's going to be something coming up you regret. In this world, there's going to be trouble. That's the promise. He has overcome the world. There's going to be regrets. Work these habits. Start to look for them. But praise God that you're right there with the flock. Maybe you've wandered just a little. Maybe there's some things that have come up you regret, but you've kind of moved up onto the hill there away from the flock. The shepherd's calling you back. Man, go through this. Let him redeem whatever has happened and bring you back. But what about the one they talk about, the lost? We may think of that being over on these grassy meadows. I want you to think about the lost sheep different. From this point forward on that story, think about, we always think of grassy meadows, sheep feeding. Think about the Badlands out west. Cliffs. Drop-offs. Maybe there's a sheep that was always away from the flock a little bit. It was part of the herd, but always away from the flock. Goes off, falls down one of those embankments. Tumbles down an embankment. Is hurt, disoriented. Wanders off through thorny bushes, down another one, falls again. This rocky ground is beat up. Weather comes in. The wind's blowing like it blows out there. It's cold. It's wet. Injured. Lost. That's the lost I'm talking about. Here's the thing about that story. The shepherd doesn't wait. The shepherd didn't wait for that sheep to get all the way down at the bottom, all the way hurt and lost like that. The minute that sheep got out of the shepherd's sight, the shepherd started going after it. It went down that embankment. The shepherd came right behind the embankment. Going through those thorny bushes, the shepherd was right there digging through those with them. Through everything, the shepherd would be equally dirty and bloody, but the shepherd's not broken. And at some point in that sheep being lost, it's sitting there broken, cold, tired, at its rope's end, and it turns around. Maybe the wind dies, and it can hear the voice of the shepherd saying, I'm here. Reaching down with nail-scarred hands, picking up a sheep and putting it on his shoulders, saying, I got you. Let's go home. They're going to have to go through that same territory, but that sheep's not going through it alone. That's our God we serve. That's Paul's God. That's what the relationship with Jesus is. If you're going to redeem the stuff that happens in your life by yourself, you're going to fail. Jesus never fails. That's the reality of the gospel. Paul was preaching. That's the reality of the gospel that is preached today. We think, man, I'm so far from God. No, God's right there. We just have to turn around. Turn away from what it is and choose Jesus. So that's the power to break out of the sorry cycle. Hopefully these handles help you start to recognize, to release, and let him redeem these regrets. But more important, more than anything with this entire message, is the choice. The choice to not to get caught in the sorry cycle. The choice to choose that starting over loop. The choice to choose a life of redemption and rejoicing like Paul. The choice to choose Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious and mighty God, I thank you for every person that hears this word today. Lord, I thank you for the love you have for them, for the fact that we are never alone. Wherever they're at, Lord, I pray that they feel your presence, hear your call, and that we will respond. Help us to move past the past in your strength. I pray this in the mighty name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.